Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. Voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, along with former Jaguars Jeff Lagerman and Tony Boselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Now.
All right, here we go from the HananiaAutos.com studio on a rainy Thursday evening, 1 week from the NFL draft. And before we get too far down the road, are you still in favor of this draft on May the 8th?
I will say
most
this.
Most of the media are starting to just jones now at this
to
point.
Your credit, I had one of my good friends who is a NFL freak, Steeler fan. I mean, just everything, knows everything about the draft, everything. We were playing golf about 4 days ago, 5 days ago. He goes, "This is too much. I'm done. I'm tired of it. Have the draft. It's over.
I can't do anymore.
I initially said, I think it's good because you're going to get extra weeks of talking on SportsCenter.
I was wrong. First time all year.
And I'm ready for it to be here.
I heard somebody say they can hold it in Alaska for all I care next year because they're talking about moving it around as long as they move it back to April. Because everyone's ready to go.
It's
location doesn't matter, with the exception of is that New York's the media capital of the world.
Right. It's always been a place where people gravitate towards. So, hey, by the way, speaking of that, join us at the 20th annual Bud Light Draft Party presented by PRI Productions right here at Everbank Field next Thursday. You'll hear from Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley right after they make their pick. You'll enjoy interactive games, prizes, you know the deal, great ticket and gear offers, food trucks, the roar, a whole lot more. Admission is free, but you have to register and then present the ticket for admission. So if you'd like more information on how to join us for the 20th annual Bud Light Draft Party, presented by PRI, jaguars.com/draft party. We're going to be joined, and we are right now, by a guy I know you know well, Tony. And look, folks, you probably, if you follow him on Twitter, if you've paid attention to the NFL for any length of time, you understand he is the preeminent, or one of the preeminent, NFL beat writers. He covered the Oilers for years. Now he's with the Texans, covering them for the Houston Chronicle. Please welcome John McClain.
One of the great tweeters of anybody, especially during the game and especially last year when the Texans were struggling, because he took the filter off and just said whatever he was thinking at the time.
Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys very much. Thank you for having me.
How many of these have you done in the last month? How many radio programs have you been invited on to talk about the Houston Texans in the first pick? 1,000?
You guys are 6,447.
Are you ready for this thing to go back to April?
I'm ready for it to go back to April, and I thought there was no way that it would, but I'm hearing that it will, because even the NFL people would like it to go back.
It's drug on beyond all compare. Before we ask you about the pick, and anyone who's followed you on Twitter understands, you know, you've narrowed it down to two guys. Just give us a sense of where the Texans are right now. I mean, last year was obviously a surprise.
Well, and especially with the coaching staff change.
Exactly.
How is that mix working with a new head coach and a general manager that was there before?
Rick Smith, the general manager, just had his annual pre-draft news conference today. And he came from Denver, where they get the coaching staff heavily involved in scouting. They've always done that here. Well, Gary Kubiak had been here 8 years, so he was used to the system, and he was used to assistant coaches and what they wanted at their positions. Now, other than the defensive line and special teams, they're all new. So he and his staff have had to learn what they want. But as he said, communication is everything. And when you have guys that communicate, it makes it much easier for him and his staff to know what they want. And they're very involved in the process. And they have their board right now. And he works closely with Bill O'Brien. And they are desperate for a quarterback. But that being said, I think that they're going to take Jadeveon Clowney if they stay in the first spot, because they also need to improve the pass rush that went from 44 sacks in consecutive seasons when they won the division to 31 last year when they their takeaways plummeted from 29 to 11. That was the fewest since the merger in 1970. So they think the way to get the takeaways back is to get more heat on the quarterback and, of course, get some leads in the fourth quarter. So I'll be stunned if they stayed at one and took Johnny Manziel. It's between Jadeveon Clowney and Johnny Manziel, but they love Manziel. But the worry about him They don't worry about his ability. They don't worry about off the field. They're worried about his style of play and his size, him getting hurt. It's only a matter of time before he gets hurt. It's a matter of when, how bad, and how often, and does he learn from being injured? Will he learn to throw it away, slide, go out of bounds? He never has, going back to starting in high school and the SEC, and that's why I think they like Clowney. They also, I think, really deeply down would like to trade down because this draft is so deep and pick up a couple extra picks this year and a number one next year.
Talk about a little bit how it's changed. With, you mentioned Bill O'Brien, new head coach. Obviously, Gary being there for 8 years, probably one of the more – I mean, he had an intensity about him, but a more laid-back personality. Bill O'Brien coming from New England, Penn State, intense. Offensive guy like Gary, but a little bit of a different personality. How is the building handling that, and how's that transition been?
Gary Kubiak had been in the NFL since he was drafted by Denver in 1983, only 2 years when he started coaching at Texas A&M. And Gary was very tough on the players, but he kept it behind the scenes. He never embarrassed players on television. He saved the cussing out for team meetings and practice. Where Bill O'Brien has been in the NFL 4 years, and that was as an assistant to Bill Belichick in New England as offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, and play caller, he is very animated, demonstrative. He's blows up. He's got a temper, and he's not afraid to let players know what he thinks. It doesn't matter what the setting is. Now, everybody I talked to in New England, everybody I talked to at Penn State, and I've talked to some people who worked with him at some of his other stops like Georgia Tech and Duke and Maryland, they swear by him. They respect him. They like him. So he can have that temper, but they don't hold it against him because he doesn't get personal. So you're going to see some sideline explosions from Bill O'Brien, that's for sure.
You mentioned that you think it's going to be Jadeveon Clowney over Manziel. Obviously, a lot of people thought it would be a quarterback because of Bill O'Brien and his quarterback and offensive side and the mentoring he's done in the past and how much success he's had with that position. If it is Jadeveon, what are they going to do defensively? Where are they going to play him? It's been a traditional – you guys have been a 3-4 team forever. J.J. Watt's a perfect 3-4 defensive end. Not that he wouldn't be the perfect 4-3 defensive tackle. I mean, I think that guy can play anywhere he wants. What is going to be the defensive mindset now that you bring in a guy that you probably don't want dropping into pass coverage too much?
They've got a problem here because Romeo Crennel comes in and he plays the traditional 2-gap 3-4. Wade Phillips didn't. Wade Phillips 3-4 is more like 4-3. You didn't do 2 gaps. You did 1. You got off the ball. You get up the field, and you tried to create havoc in the backfield. J.J. Watt, that's what he's best at. You don't want J.J. Watt two-gapping. The worst thing in the world is having him grab, hold, read, and try to shed, but they say they will not coach him that way. Your nose tackle in the base defense, your nose tackle in your right end will be two-gappers, and Watt will not. Jadeveon Clowney in base defense would have to play weak side end. That means your weak side end, Whitney Merciless, number one pick 2 years ago, coming off his first season as a starter, in which he had 7 sacks, will have to move. Well, they're not interested in moving the strong side outside linebacker, Brooks Reed, who started the last 2 years, inside. And they say, well, we'll let Romeo Crennel worry about it. It's going to be up to him. They say, we'll get the best guys on the field. In passing situations where Clowney can play with his hand in the dirt, and he'll play right end, and Watt will slide inside to left tackle, then you would have Merciless, Brooks Reed, Brian Cushing. They would have a formidable pass rush, and they play that 70% of the time anyway. But it would necessitate some changes in the front seven. But when you're 2-14, that's the time to make those changes. I believe that they want to trade that pick, and if they trade down, there's a good chance they could take a quarterback if Manziel's gone, a quarterback like Blake Bortles, who you guys know very well.
Well, we all hope at Jacksonville that they make J.J. Watt a two-gap player. That'd be just fine by us.
I don't think they're going to do that because if they did, that'd be some of the dumbest coaching in history.
John, with Johnny Manziel being such a hero in the state of Texas, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I get the impression that the interest between the Dallas Cowboys and the Houston Texans is almost manufactured, because if they don't, maybe they would offend a fan base because he's such a well-liked player. Is it real, the interest in Johnny Manziel, or is it manufactured because he's such a popular figure?
No, if they weren't interested in Manziel, they wouldn't act like they were, because they've got people's hopes up. And if they drafted Manziel and they went to the playoffs with him, it'd be the Cowboys continued to be mediocre to bad. It'd be the only time in this city's history that a team from Houston had put a dent in the Cowboys' popularity, and it would be a big dent. The Oilers, even during the Love You Blue era with Bob Phillips and Earl Campbell, they were really good. They were really popular, but the Cowboys were really good then, and so they didn't take away any of their fans. But with Johnny Manziel, they would. But I just talked to the general manager, and he said, you can't think about that. You make your decisions based on football, what goes on between the white lines. You know, they sell every ticket here. They've sold every ticket to every game since their inception in 2002. But I'll guarantee you, their team president and their promoters and marketers, they would love to see Manziel come here, because all of a sudden there would be a buzz in this city like no other. It would be the state. I just did a mock draft in England, in which the guy that did it said they were hoping the Jaguars would take Johnny Manziel because they wanted to see him play there every year. He said, we want to see Johnny football in the UK. He said, we want the Jaguars to take him. And I said, well, maybe they will. And I said, if he's big over there, he said, he's not just big in the UK, he's big all over Europe.
Huh. That's amazing.
That doesn't surprise me. With the offensive quarterback situation that the Houston Texans have, signed a veteran guy who's very capable, in my opinion, Fitzpatrick.
Oh, yeah.
He's capable to get you at about 8-8.
I think he's more than that. With a surrounding cast, and part of that surrounding supporting cast is Arian Foster. Last year had a bit of an off year, injured. How is his health, and how is his attitude with a new head coach?
Arian Foster's health's fine, and he got to rest a lot last year. He'd been the most, he had touched the ball more than any back in the league 3 years in a row. Now, he didn't touch the ball much before that, didn't get it much in college, so he's not real beat up for a guy that's turning 28 this year. And he says he's ready to go. And they've got good tight ends, they've got good wide receivers. They got good defense, even though they couldn't force turnovers to get the quarterback. They ranked seventh, I believe. And the Ryan Fitzpatrick, the quarterback, was signed to be a caretaker, a mentor for a young quarterback. They will not rush a rookie. If they don't get one in the first round, they'll get one in the second. He will not be rushed. Bill O'Brien's got a long contract. Bob McNair is the second most patient owner in the NFL. To Mike Brown in Cincinnati, the rookie may not play the first year. No matter how bad the fans and media clamor for him, he will play when Bill O'Brien and the quarterback's coach, George Godsey, say he's ready to play, and not sooner.
Let's look at a couple other needs in the draft. John, the right side of that offensive line has been really poor the last couple of years, and they really struggled last year quite a bit. I got to believe, after you get out of the first round, you mentioned how strong the rest of the roster is. It's a very good roster outside the offensive line, especially the right side. Is that something that's going to be an emphasis going into this draft?
They need a right tackle. They may need a left guard. But they are destitute in the defensive line. They have no nose tackle who can start. They have no right end who can start. They need draft choices at those positions, maybe in the second and third round. Could be a right tackle in the second round, nose in the third, who knows. But they've got to beef up their right tackle and nose and right defensive end, and they better do it early, because those are weak positions. They've got strength everywhere else. They've got depth at most places, but they don't even have starters who are legitimate at those positions.
All right, John, we know how much in demand you are. We really appreciate your time this evening. Enjoy one more week of this before the draft next Thursday.
Mike, guys, if some reason the Jaguars take Johnny football, you can take those tarps off.
They're coming off. one way or another.
Thank you.
It sounds very similar there, John.
Yep, absolutely. All right, appreciate it. Go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion, folks. See your Southern Ford dealer today. They're a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. They remind you that you can go further. John McClain has set off our impromptu top 10 mock draft, which follows here on Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, this portion of Jaguars Thursday brought to you by Fanatics.com. Impromptu mock draft here a week after the draft should have happened, now that we all agree on that. And we'll go through the top 10. We'll talk about some scenarios. We'll put players down where we think they go, and then we can always come back and talk about trade. So there's no doubt in my mind that if Houston is sitting there at one and unable to get back, Jadeveon Clowney's
the Whoever's guy. That one has taken Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, he's, I mean, well, now wait. There was one rumor that Atlanta might be going up, but not for Clowney, for one of the offensive tackles.
No. They're not going to go up to one to get an offensive tackle. Not
Why not? It's the most important position on the field, Jeff.
You wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't.
No.
Even though I think it's the best
All right.
position.
So Clowney is number one to Houston in our scenario. So then we get to St. Louis, and here
this is intriguing.
It
right
gets
here.
Intriguing right out of the gate because Les Snead, mm-hmm. who was at one time here, who we all know, is a guy who has not sat still since being the general manager of the St. Louis Rams. He's been willing to move.
Well, he's been willing to move, and he also came. He was the right hand man of Thomas Dimitroff in Atlanta, and Atlanta's reportedly interested in moving up. So. Whether it be offensive tackle, whether it be Clowney, whatever. So, I mean, that's a possible trade scenario. Then you have the Detroit Lions who have
– and Buffalo.
Everything that's being reported, that they are not shy about making their wishes known, that they'd like to move up and draft a wide receiver, and that wide receiver is Sammy Watkins. So, if the Rams stay pat, I think they're going to draft an offensive tackle. If it's a trade, then I think it becomes either an offensive tackle if it's Atlanta, or if it's Detroit moving up, it's Sammy Watkins.
Well, let's assume that the Rams stay there because otherwise
for our draft.
For our draft.
Right.
And they're taking – I would take Jake Matthews.
Think he's the better of the two tackles.
I think he is the better of the two tackles.
His father played for Jeff Fisher, coached with him for years.
I think
comfort level there has to be huge.
And Jake Matthews is the more polished, ready to play right now. Greg Robinson's a freak athlete. He's dominant. He's physical.
He's going to the top 10. There's no doubt.
I think he's going to be a good player. He is. I don't think he's as polished when it comes to pass blocking.
He would be viewed, I think, by some people as being a potential bust at first because I think his curve is going to be a little steep because of the style of system that he played in college. But I think long term he has a higher ceiling than a Jake Matthews. But Jake Matthews is ready to plug and play right now.
Right,
I go Jake Matthews.
All right, so we'll put Jake Matthews at number two to St. Louis. And, again, that's a scene that a lot of people have seen watching these mock drafts over the last couple of weeks and now months. And that brings the Jaguars up. And at this situation, there are two guys whose names have been most linked to this franchise. One is Khalil Mack, the outside linebacker, edge rusher, do-everything linebacker from Buffalo, and Sammy Watkins, the wide receiver from Clemson, who is an explosive playmaker for a team that lacks them.
Every mock draft, and we're looking at it, Jeff's screen, has the Jaguars taking Khalil Mack. If both are on the board, I think it's Sammy Watkins. I think they like to trade down. I could see if Sammy Watkins is on the board and Detroit wants to get up and offer a bunch to get him.
We're moving down.
They're moving down. I think that's a great opportunity. But for this mock draft, I think they pick Sammy Watkins if he's on the board.
Yeah, I think if this team needs a playmaker, I mean, the Justin Blackmon situation has changed the dynamic, I think, for this team right now in the draft. If Justin Blackmon were just fine and you knew where he was going to be and he wasn't suspended, the need for a wide receiver would not be so great. But right now, the need is great, and they need to have a playmaker on offense. They address the defensive side of the ball in free agency. So if they stay in pat, I think it's Sammy Watkins. The guy's got great speed. He's a physical runner.
You watch the tape.
Got good hands. He doesn't have the body control of an A.J. Green or Julio Jones, but he's got over the top, take the top off of the defense speed, which is very rare. I mean, this guy's a legitimate 4.43. He can fly. And if they stand pat, I think that's where they're going to end up picking.
All right, so put Sammy Watkins in there, Joe. for the Jaguars. And we'll go through this top 10. Then we'll come back and we'll start talking after the break at the bottom of the hour. We'll go through some scenarios of who, where, why, when, and what the Jaguars might be looking for should they trade back. Okay, so here's Cleveland. They have two first-round picks, like St. Louis. They're at 4 and at 26. Their needs are known far and wide. Quarterback, wide receiver is another one that they've been talking about. Your thoughts on where Cleveland goes here at number 4?
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. I mean, they need a quarterback, but they've really played down. Mike Pettine was very succinct in saying that, hey, look, we have a lot of needs, and we could end up drafting a quarterback, but not necessarily with the 4th overall pick. Mike Pettine's a defensive coach. Came from the New York Jets, playing there under Wade – or not Wade Phillips. What's his name?
Buddy Ryan.
Buddy Ryan's son. Not Buddy Ryan.
Yeah, right. Rex Ryan.
Rex Ryan. And so he's a defensive-minded guy. I would think this is going to be a kind of a tough situation with the general manager saying, hey, we need to have a quarterback, and Mike Pettine saying, hey, we can address that later on with a quarterback deep draft. But if they stand pat, I don't know. I mean, Johnny Manziel.
I disagree. I think what you said right before you said Manziel is the key. They have another pick. It's a deep draft. I think they feel like some of these quarterbacks are going to slide and could possibly slide and get a quality guy with that second pick. I like Khalil Mack here. I think he is the next best player on the board in that Mike Pettine kind of 3-4 hybrid type of defense. He's the perfect rush end, can do it all, drop into coverage,
but
great havoc.
Didn't they draft that last year with the kid out of LSU?
Yeah, you can never have too many of those guys. And when you have the best player left on the board right now, if you're looking at it and you're a team that has so many needs, you're not a very good ball club, you got to get better at a lot of places. I like Khalil Mack here.
You know, we saw Barcavius Mingo a little bit last year, you know, at the end of the season there in Cleveland. Do you think that Khalil Mack and Barcavius Mingo are the same guy, Jeff, or do you agree with Tony?
No.
Khalil Mack's better.
I think Khalil Mack is better. Khalil Mack reminds me a lot, and I was thinking about this early in the week, the outside linebacker that just signed as a free agent to go to Denver that came from the Dallas Cowboys. Long-time passer. I mean, he was the face of the
I thought you said pass.
Ware.
DeMarcus Ware. He reminds me a lot of DeMarcus Ware, that he's got a lot of flexibility to play linebacker, but he would be a great hybrid-type Leo, which, you know, would be a great fit here too. You know, and I think he's got that physical ability. When I've watched the film of, you know, this top-round talent, there were three guys that stood out to me head and shoulders above everybody else. It was Clowney, it was Khalil Mack, and it was Sammy Watkins. And I think Tony is right. I think Khalil Mack is going to be the guy here in Cleveland.
All right, so put Khalil Mack there at 4, and that brings the Oakland Raiders up.
Who knows?
Well, that's where that's where Johnny Manziel goes. I mean, he fits in the top 5 based on that, doesn't he? He's not sliding out of the top 10.
I mean, I don't necessarily think that he could slide out of the top 10 because Tampa Bay is sitting right there inside the top 10.
So is Minnesota.
And so is Minnesota. But with the Oakland Raiders.
I have no idea. I mean, can you figure out what they do ever?
Well, no. I mean, no one knows exactly the way that they think. I mean, the quarterback is their most pressing need.
They could go Greg Robinson. They need help on the offensive line.
Well, we got him gone.
No, we have Jake Matthews.
Greg Robinson's available. You're right. It does make sense because they lost their left tackle to Arizona. And they had spent the money on Roger Saffold,
and then they sent him back. Robinson.
Yeah. So Greg Robinson here?
I like Greg Robinson there.
I think most people think he's a top 5 talent.
Well, because in my opinion, his best position would be right tackle because he's so raw.
Right.
And you could protect him a little bit.
And he could maybe grow into being a left tackle.
And then grow into being a left tackle. I think that's the perfect fit.
Boy, you know, who feels right now in Atlanta more screwed than the Falcons? I mean, both tackles are off the board, and Clowney's gone, and Mack is gone. The pass rushers, the pass protectors are gone. So what do the Falcons do at number 6?
In our scenario, I think this is a great opportunity for them to slide down to allow a Tampa or a Minnesota to jump up and take a quarterback that they want.
Yeah, but Tampa's sitting there, and they know that Atlanta's not taking a quarterback. Now, I could see
Minnesota
might try to jump them.
That might.
You know.
But at the same time, if you're Tampa, you're looking, there's two good quarterbacks. They both like Manziel and Bortles are still on the board.
But, most teams, though, like one guy.
That's fair.
You know, they like one guy.
Right.
And so they're willing to maybe, you know, throw in a little something just to move up one spot to get that one guy. So,
but let's say Atlanta has to stay.
Well, they have
there.
To in our
I think
scenario.
It's Anthony Barr. I think he's the next best pass rusher out of UCLA.
Does Taylor Lewan come into the conversation at all?
Possibly. That's a
the
good
big tackle
think,
from,
that's a good
from
point.
Michigan.
I didn't like him. I mean, good solid player at Michigan, but I mean.
But you know how this thing goes sometimes, Jeff. There's a run on a position, and all of a sudden people panic.
Well, Thomas Dimitroff, he did draft Sam Baker higher than
anyone
what
thought,
he performed
yeah.
at. So maybe they do reach and end up going tackle here.
There's a lot of movement for Lewan moving up the board.
Yeah, but they need pass rushers. They need someone who can rush the
guy
passer.
That I like, if you're in need of a pass rusher, and I like Barr, I think he's got some pretty good moves. But the guy that I like the most is the defensive lineman from Pittsburgh, Aaron Donald. I think this guy's a beast.
And that would be a huge move up. Most people think he fits like 10-12. Let's put him in.
Well, then the other person I think that probably doesn't fit here, Lewis Nix.
Well, there's another guy that is on the offensive side of the ball that Atlanta's going to have to look at. They lost Tony Gonzalez at the tight end position. They need a weapon. Eric Ebron, the tight end from North Carolina, is a stud. And so now if you look at – if you're the Falcons, you lose the guys that you wanted, maybe we load up and go – get the replace Tony Gonzalez with an Eric Ebron. I mean, I think there's a handful of guys that you look at.
Well, things
I think
happen.
If I'm Atlanta and I have to make that pick, I have no pass rush. They can't affect the quarterback. They've ignored the defensive side of the ball for so long.
Right.
I would go Anthony Barr. That's who I would go with.
I don't think Anthony Barr. I think he's a fantastic college player. Yeah, I mean, let's put him there, but I mean, I think that's a little high for him.
But, you know, and he's kind of falling. I think Donald's a better fit here because Donald is climbing big time.
He's a stud player now. Quick off the ball.
Someone's going
he's
up to
powerful.
Someone's going up to get him. I think I'm with you. I think Donald
all right,
is the guy.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
With Donald.
Because
there.
I think if Atlanta, and when we come back, we're going to go through the top 10. We're going to take a break, come back and go through scenarios. We'll talk about some teams that really have looked hard at these guys. As you mentioned, Jeff, these teams fall in love with their guy. And they want a shot to go get him. So that brings Tampa up. I mean, Johnny Manziel would make sense.
We don't know who they
Mike
like.
Evans
it's either
would make sense.
I think it's Bortles, or if both are on the board, I think Tampa takes either Bortles or Manziel. Whoever.
I think it's going to be back-to-back quarterbacks under our scenario.
All right. So with Tampa at 7 and Minnesota at 8, it's Bortles and Manziel. So what do you think?
Well, you know
what?
We'll
go with Tampa Bay.
We'll come back and we'll figure that out. We'll debate it in the break.
All right. You want to do that or you want to finish the top 10? All right, we'll take the break and be back. You're listening to Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, rolling right along here, an impromptu mock draft through the top 10. We're going to finish the top 10. We're 6 picks in, and I'll recap those momentarily. But first, we'll go through the top 10. And then we'll go back after we finish and we'll look at likely trade scenarios specifically in where the Jaguars are sitting at 3 and what they might be able to do. But we gave Houston, and in our mock draft right now, no trades. So Houston at 1 takes Clowney. That's a no-brainer. St. Louis at number 2 grabs Matthews, the offensive tackle from Texas A&M. Again, a no-brainer. It's a big need. We gave Sammy Watkins, the explosive receiver from Clemson, to the Jaguars. We gave Khalil Mack, the outside linebacker from Buffalo, to Cleveland. Greg Robinson, the big offensive tackle with unlimited potential at Oakland. And then Aaron Donald, the first surprise of our mock draft. You know, a lot of people have him 10, 11, 12, right around where Chicago is. You know, Dallas obviously likes him. But, Jeff, you love the guy. And so we moved him up to a team that needs a pass rush. He's an interior pass rusher, but a guy with really explosive pass rush moves.
He in a true 4-3 defense or a hybrid 3-4 where the end is hitting gaps, this guy can be an absolute beast. Aaron Donald is strong. He's quick. He's got moves. He's got a great motor. If he were, and Tony said this when we went to break, if this guy were 2 inches taller, he would be a top 3 pick in the draft easily.
He's 6'1". Just a hair over 6'1", right? Almost 6'2".
Yeah, if he's 6'3", 6'4", there's not even a doubt.
Which is a huge mistake because John Randall was about 6'1". He was pretty good.
I mean, he reminds
me. And undrafted,
me,
by the way.
Yeah. He reminds me a lot of John Randall. With the motor, the quickness, the first step, the get off, he reminds me a lot of John Randall. That's
all right, so
a great comparison.
We're 6 picks through the top 10. And that's as far as we're going before we stop and sort of rehash. Tampa Bay is at 7, Minnesota at 8, Buffalo at 9, and the Lions finish out the top 10. And so before the break, we talked about Tampa Bay and Minnesota, each teams that are affiliated, at least again through the mock process, with quarterbacks. Johnny Manziel and Blake Bortles are on the board, for that matter. So too is Teddy Bridgewater. My, how he has fallen. Who's going to be the first quarterback off the board to Tampa?
I would take Johnny Manziel if I'm Tampa. That's
Why?
Who I take.
Why? Tickets? Talent?
Tickets, talent, off-the-field excitement, and I think he has the ability to be a superstar. I'm not – I said it in the break. I don't think we're going to take him. I wouldn't pick him at 3. But if we do pick him, I won't be upset. I think it's a risk, but his upside is gigantic. I really do.
And Bill Polian does too.
And if I'm sitting there at Tampa, that's who I pick.
I agree with that. I mean, look, the only bad thing is if this scenario works out is that we're going to be watching the team across the state.
Have all the attention.
Have a lot of attention, a lot of excitement, you know. But I stick with what my commentary was, a month and a half ago, in that Johnny Manziel doesn't do anything that the play is designed to do. And I think it's going to be a rough learning curve for him to play in an NFL system to where the design of the play is the design of the play, and that's how it has to work in the NFL. Otherwise, he's not going to last long playing that game. His best game is when the play breaks down and he just creates something. That's great for playground. But for the National Football League, where timing and precision is the game of the offense, that's hard to function in that kind of capacity.
The only thing I'll say, though, he tested the highest in the Wonderlic. He's a very bright guy. He's an intense competitor. He has a huge arm. The knock on it, the only worry about him
– durability.
Is durability and his size. Never got hurt.
And there's some questions about off-field stuff.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, I'm talking football now. You're right about that. He never got hurt. He played every game at Texas A&M. I know it's a big difference. He reminds me that there's been plenty of smaller quarterbacks. Not plenty, but there's a handful that have made it. Look at Jeff Garcia. He is Jeff Garcia's body type. Jeff Garcia was not a very big guy. I remember doing games, and he would just get killed. And he'd get run around and get killed. But he was built different, that he just got up and he didn't get hurt. And maybe Johnny's like that. He has that type of durability. We don't know. I think the upside's huge for the guy. And so if I'm Tampa, that's why I sit there and I think I take him. And that's why I said, while I wouldn't pick him if I'm the Jag, if they did, I think it would be pretty interesting and exciting.
All right. So give Johnny Manziel to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Joe, at 7. And that means that at number 8, Minnesota takes Blake Bortles, right?
No doubt.
Yep.
No doubt.
And you guys watch the tape on him. I mean, he's an exciting prospect too, but for completely different reasons. He's the prototypical quarterback.
He's the guy.
He's got a big learning curve, though.
Height, weight. He's got the arm. But the system that he played in at UCF was not exactly a pro-style offense from what I saw.
I agree.
A lot of timing routes. So the reading of NFL defenses and the decision-making is going to take him some time in Minnesota. And the Minnesota Vikings just went through Ponder. Are the fans going to be willing to be patient for a guy by the name of Blake Bortles? Now, the one good thing is that their new head coach up there, Mike Zimmer, had some experience with a young, inexperienced quarterback in Cincinnati and saw that growth progression. So I'm sure that he would be willing to be patient and allow him time to grow. And they've got a veteran that they can allow him to do that in Minnesota.
Any other thoughts on Bortles?
No, I agree with everything Jeff said.
All right.
I think that's the pick.
Buffalo is up next. They're a team that's talked about wide receiver and offensive tackle.
They're jumping up and down.
Yeah. I mean, why? Because they can get Mike Evans?
They got, well, Mike Evans, or they can get Taylor Lewan.
Right. They got their choice of guys.
You know, and this could be a situation, although we're not doing trades, that you know, the Detroit Lions say, hey, look, you know.
Save that. Save it, because we're going to do it when we come back.
We can
take someone
can
here.
Move up.
Take someone here.
I take,
do you take a tackle or do
I
you take a
tackle.
Receiver?
Their offensive line really
in a draft that Mike Mayock says is as deep as he's ever seen at wide receiver.
Yeah, I'd go to Taylor Lewan there.
And he's a big guy and moves well. Left tackle. All right, so Taylor Lewan goes to Buffalo. Now let's.
Which I think
up.
Is too high for him.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
There are some people that have him going up in the top 6-7 picks.
I think he's a 20s pick.
Okay.
Did you watch? Did you ever watch the game against when he played against Clowney? It was last year's bowl game.
Did not.
He did. That was the game in which Clowney had the infamous YouTube hit.
When he was unblocked.
Right.
Lawan did a good job against him.
Right, that was
he played very well against Clowney.
He's
and
long.
I watched.
He reminds me a little bit of Eric Fisher.
Okay, yeah, he is almost 6'8".
You know, as far as
bigger though.
Yeah, he's about the same size.
He looks thicker to me. I mean, it's hard to tell.
He looks about the same size, but you know, Eric Fisher is a little bit mechanical.
Yes.
Teller Lawan reminds me a little bit of that.
I would agree with that on the technical side, but I think he's going to be a good player. And I think Buffalo just has so many needs. And that coupled with the fact that there's plenty of good wide receivers
right.
in this draft.
All right, so at number 10, Detroit, a team that we talked about, coveting a wide receiver.
Mike Evans.
Is it Mike Evans, or do they grab the tight end Ebron, who is a phenomenal athlete?
No. Eric Ebron, to me, is a good player. He's a 20s pick also. To me, Mike Evans, Johnny Manziel needs to give him a percentage of his contract. Because all that running around when the play looked like it broke down, when it really didn't, Johnny just decided to take off, and then Johnny just throws it up into the air for grabs. Who caught 90% of those balls?
Evans.
Mike Evans.
He's a 47 passes.
4-4 guy at 6'5".
He is a great player.
Great player.
You could even make the argument that Sammy Watkins, the difference between him and Sammy Watkins is not that great.
Let's do this. Let me recap the top 10 here. We'll take a break, our final break of the evening, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about scenarios and trades and all of the fun stuff that you can still do a week out from this year's NFL draft. So number one, Houston Clowney, the defensive end from South Carolina. Number two, St. Louis, Jake Matthews, the offensive tackle from Texas A&M. At number three, we gave the Jaguars Sammy Watkins, the receiver from Clemson. At number four, Cleveland, Khalil Mack, the outside linebacker from Buffalo. At five, Oakland takes Greg Robinson, the offensive tackle from Auburn. At six, here's the surprise in our top 10, Atlanta takes Aaron Donald, the defensive tackle from Pittsburgh. At seven, Tampa Bay, as many people think they will if he's there, takes quarterback Johnny Manziel from Texas A&M. Eight, Minnesota, a quarterback needy team also, Blake Bortles, the quarterback from Central Florida. At nine, Buffalo grabs the offensive tackle they need in Taylor Lewan from Michigan, and we'll wrap up the top 10. Detroit, wanting a wide receiver to put opposite Calvin Johnson, grabs Mike Evans, the wide receiver from Texas A&M. Let's take this break. When we come back, some fun, some hypothesis, a week out. You're listening to Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, so one segment left in the program this evening here on Jaguars Radio, and we will talk about some trade scenarios involving the Jaguars. So the way we had it laid out right there, Houston with Clowney and St. Louis with Jake Matthews, leaves the Jaguars at three with Watkins and Mack both on the board. At this point, do they want to trade out, or do they need Watkins because of the Justin Blackmon situation? So grabbing Watkins just makes sense.
Well, my two favorite guys at the wide receiver position, clearly Watkins and Evans, and I think the difference between the two of them is the speed factor, with Sammy Watkins having a little bit more top-end speed. But Mike Evans is a great player, and I don't think the difference between him is all that great. Mike Evans, to me, can do it all. He can catch the ball in traffic. He can run the ball deep. He's physical. He's like a great NBA rebounder. If the ball's up in the air, it's his and it's only his. And he's got the size to just dominate some of the defensive backs. So if they don't get Watkins and they are able to either take Khalil Mack or to trade back and pick up an Evans to get that offensive playmaker, I'd be fired up.
I just don't I don't see who's going to trade up to three if Watkins isn't there. Who are they trading up to get?
All right. Well, let's say Watkins is there.
Well, then I could see Detroit.
Are you willing to go back to 10?
Absolutely.
Evans could go between there.
That's fine.
The Raiders could take him. The Buccaneers could take
him. There's plenty of other good players in the draft.
You'll go back from 3 to 10. How about you?
It depends what I get.
Well, to go that high, it's going to cost
going,
you.
I'm not going that far back.
It's going to cost you.
If you get you get Detroit's first next year.
Oh, yeah, I'd do that then.
Okay, get their first next year and a two this year. That's basically what I mean.
I think it's going to cost you more than that. I think you're going to end up getting a five or a six this year in addition to that.
Okay, my point is, let's forget all that. If I can get a two this year, another two, and another first rounder next year, I go to 10. Like right now.
I would.
Okay.
Yeah, I would.
So you're listening
but
if they're calling.
That's a lot to get.
Well, no, but if you look at history, what people are given to move up, I mean, Atlanta gave like more than that.
But they were coming from the bottom of the first round to get to number six. I mean, that was a long way to go.
I don't think you'd get that much. If you did, you'd take it in a minute.
What do you think to go from 10 to 3 you'd have to give up?
A 2, a 5.
A 2 and a 4 or a 2 and a 5?
No way. I think you're giving way more than that.
Well, next year's 1.
He doesn't think you have to give next year's 1 up.
You don't think so?
No, not to move up 7 spots.
Okay.
Well, and I'm not an expert enough to know. I mean,
nobody knows exactly how much that chart is used anymore.
Or how much it's changed since the salary structure in the first round has changed.
Right. Yeah,
the game is a little bit different than when Jimmy Johnson first put that one down on the table. Let's change the scenario. Let's say that Clowney's gone and Sammy Watkins is gone and the Jaguars are sitting at 3.
And they have to stay there?
Well, no.
Who's moving up, though?
Well, will somebody come up? Will somebody come up? Will Buffalo come up one of those tackles?
I don't think so.
Both of them are going to be gone by the time the Bills, and maybe they'll be happy with Taylor One. I don't know. I don't know if Watkins isn't there.
I think there's only two players you trade up for.
Unless Minnesota wants, or Tampa really wants Manziel.
You know, I read an article.
They want to get in front of Cleveland.
This week that was talking about how David Caldwell may have an interest in a Jake Matthews. And when I was reading it, you know what I was thinking? Smokescreen. Right? Because, you know, that what we're talking about is a possibility. And that the tackles could all be sitting right there. And that, you know, the impression that, hey, look, we could take a tackle could drive interest from another team wanting to
move
up.
That's a good point. So the only – I'll correct myself because I was wrong. If Clowney –
is that twice in one show?
Twice in one show. It's like the second time this year. It's amazing.
Sun and the moon have all aligned.
Clowney, Watkins are gone. The team that would move up for Matthews or Robinson would be Atlanta. Atlanta would want to get up there to get one of those offensive tackles because they desperately need one.
And obviously the relationship's there.
And then you move to 6. You probably can get another second rounder this year.
And at 6, you could pick up Mike Evans if you wanted
him. Absolutely.
That'd be perfect.
That would be a dream scenario.
I love that guy.
Mike Evans, you do?
I love him, yeah.
Do you think he'll be as good as Watkins? Or do you think Watkins' speed is just a hair better?
It's a hair better, but, I mean, Mike Evans.
Long-term.
It's a little bit different. I mean, the way Mike Evans plays the game, ultra-competitive. I mean, I like his style.
Could he be T.O.?
Yeah. I really think he could be a Terrell Owens.
Who is a third-round pick?
I would take that.
Who's
without
a
doing push-ups
pick?
And sit-ups in the driveway, I hope.
I'll let him do push-ups and sit-ups in the driveway.
You know, I'd love to see a board right now because – Mike Mayock said on his conference call today that the wide receiver class in this draft is deep, 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 as deep as he's ever seen. And so you start talking about Sammy Watkins and Mike Evans, and you wonder, I mean, could you grab a guy later in the first round, in the second round, and the gap is not that big? I don't know. I'm asking you because
I'll say this. There's a bunch of really good receivers out there.
So do you have to get a guy in the
top
10?
The next guy that really kind of fits on that list of next wide receivers, Odell Beckham Jr. from LSU.
Right.
From watching him, I think he's a clear big step down from Evans and Watkins. He's smooth, he's fluid, but he doesn't have that dominant run past you, steal the ball away from
kind
you.
Kind of like Kendall Watkins in Tennessee, a very good receiver, top
smooth,
20 pick,
fluid,
but not a game breaker.
Right.
Okay.
I think it's a step down. I mean, yes, it may be a deep wide receiver draft, but I think Evans and Watkins are head and shoulders above the rest.
Let's stay with Clowney and Watkins, 1 and 2. And we talked about Atlanta coming up to get an offensive tackle. Does anybody want Johnny Manziel bad enough to get in front of Cleveland, which is kind of the first place where it seems like he may be going?
I don't know.
Could you get Minnesota to get in front of Tampa Bay, Oakland, and Cleveland?
Maybe.
I
don't see it either, but here's the other thing. If the Jags could move down 6, 7, 8, or 9, wherever it is, and get that another second rounder, deep wide receiver draft, load up on picks. Do they take a quarterback at that point?
Oh, do they take Mantel?
Now you're sitting at 7 or 8. You're sitting on the board. Let's assume Evans is gone because, I mean, he is a fast riser. I mean, do you sit there, or even if Evans is there, and you sit there and say, we evaluate this wide receiver class like Mayock has.
Right.
We think we can get a starting number one receiver at the top of the second, where we sit right now, or we can bundle those two second rounders we have and move back up into the first round if we had to get a guy. Do we take Johnny Manziel at that point?
It's a great question. And, you know, we spend so much time in this
mock draft. It's intriguing. I got logs to even raise his eyebrows on that one.
Well, I just don't see them drafting Johnny Manziel in round
one. Or Blake Bortles.
No, I could see them drafting Blake Bortles. And the reason why is that you look at the general manager's history. David Caldwell came from Atlanta, and he came from Indianapolis.
And before that, he was in Carolina.
Peyton Manning, Matt Ryan.
Kerry Collins in Carolina, right.
Big, stand in the pocket, throw the ball, quarterbacks. I think if there's a quarterback that this team could draft in round one, it's Blake Bortles.
I agree, but one of his mentors, Bill Polian, has come out and said.
But he's on TV now.
He thinks, I understand, but he thinks that Johnny Manziel could be a star.
He's pandering to the Texas folks.
I don't disagree with you there.
For ratings? Is that what you're talking about?
I don't disagree with you.
In the few minutes that we have left. We spend so much time in the mock draft process, and everybody focuses just on the first round. The ratings are off the charts for the first round on Thursday night, second round. And it's tough enough to predict the first. But where would you look? Let's say Watkins is the guy because we gave him that draft. Where do you turn at 39? Are you looking for a pass rusher, or are you looking for the quarterback? Does Zach Mettenberger turn you on at all?
He doesn't have enough movement. To me, I mean,
but he's that big, strong, stand-in-the-pocket guy.
Yeah, but he's big, strong, stand-in-the-pocket, and kind of can't get out of his own way.
Do you think
Ryan?
Statue.
Do you think
you know?
He'd be coached to get out of the way
put
like
it this
Peyton
way,
does?
When I watched the highlight tape of Mettenberger, you know what I was thinking? If I were pass rushing him, I would be thrilled because I would know exactly where he's going to be at every time.
Yeah, but there's a number of great quarterbacks like that right now.
No.
Peyton Manning.
No. I mean, even Dan Marino. When Dan Marino had the Achilles problems and was almost incapable of movement, still had the ability to make small, subtle moves in the pocket.
So you don't think he can even do that?
Extend. I don't think Mettenberger can even do that.
Okay. Well, if he can't do that, then I'm with – don't touch him.
Players, forget that for positions. At 39, where are you looking?
I'm looking at
– based on what this team has done in free
agency. I'm very intrigued at the quarterback position with that pick.
All right.
If I get Sammy Watkins number in the first round, I'm looking at who's left of the quarterback board.
All right. Well, we talked about Mettenberger. You
Garoppolo.
The tape wasn't good enough for you to tell, was it?
No, and I did go back and watch a little bit of a game that the film came from a different school, I guess, the opponent.
Yeah.
He's too much run around for me.
A school that had Tony Romo, you'd think they'd be able to put the tape on.
Yeah.
You'd think Romo would give him a little bit of money. You didn't like his movement skills.
I'm not a big fan of him. You know the guy that I like the most, probably that
Aaron Murray from Georgia?
Well, I like him, but I don't like him in round two. If Derek Carr were to fall at the beginning of round two.
Oh, they're going to pick him right away.
I'd take him in a minute.
Oh, they're going to.
They had him at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, I don't think he'll go that far. I can't see him dropping that far.
All right, well, let me throw another trade scenario at you. You're sitting at 39, and Derek Carr has slid to 27, 28, somewhere in that range. Are you willing to part with some of your picks
to
move up and get Derek Carr?
We need picks.
Okay, so you see.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Let's debate. Why?
Yes, because I think he has a lot of great skill set. He's mobile. He's accurate. He's got a lot of experience in different systems. And I'm one of the guys that was not a big believer in him just because of his brother.
I was going to say, if his name was Derek Smith, he might be a top 10 pick.
All right, that'll do it, folks. Don't forget the draft 1 week from tonight. Have a great night, everybody.